Old Yidden say a story of the Tsar Nikolai, the last one. Yeah, was he the last Tsar of the Russian Empire? Pardon? He was apparently, although being an emperor of the Russian Empire and being son of an emperor and a grandson of an emperor, apparently had the habit of occasionally, every now and then, he'd dress up as a commoner, as a simple man, and he'd go around and just hear what people say about him and see how common people live. Apparently he did that every now and then. He went into an inn. Where else would he? Well, he can't go to a besmeders, so I suppose he goes to an inn. And he goes there, and then he has a schmooze with some of the Russian goyim, and unrecognizable to the people that he's talking to, he talks to three people who are just about in, and then after having a conversation with them, he says he enjoyed himself with them. He says, "Tell me, if you would meet in the middle of nowhere, you'd have a conversation with the emperor, with the Tsar Nikolai, and he would ask you." What would you like? You can choose anything you want. What would you like? What would you pick? So one of the three people there thinks for a minute and he says, I'd probably ask for a large field. Large field, once you have a large field, huge estate, that itself produces wealth. So I think I'd ask him for that. He says, okay, that's an interesting one. What would you pick? He asks, just turns around to the second person. What would you go for? He says, actually, I'd want a mill. Because once you have a mill, that itself produces lots of money just constantly that can actually make a person a very wealthy person. I'd go for a mill. That's what I would ask. If you'd ask me, if I'd meet him in an inn, that's what I'd ask him. Ask the third person, what would you go for? And the third person then replies and he says, leave me alone. This is just, it's rubbish talk. Leave me out of the nonsense. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. You're talking rubbish. He said, leave me alone. He said, okay, fine. Nothing. Nothing is nothing. He said, okay, fine. The next day, he sent he went back, obviously, to his palace. He delivered to the first person that he had that, after obviously exchanging details, he asked him, not exchanging details, just asking for details. He sent to the first person, the deeds of a very large field, and to the second person, he sent a contract of acquisition of a very large mill, and to the third person, he sent a message, and he said, "If you say you want nothing, you get nothing." That's what he said. The Bale Musa, who said his story, apparently it's a true story. They said for me, "Was Yemoydi Gezach." Then Yemei El come, Shchedish El comes. It's Gevaldige Yemei Skavos Rebbeinu Shleilom. It's very, very special days. If a person asks for something, he just has to realize that the Melech Malcham Lochim is near us. It's coming close and close. It's just upon us to request something and to ask what we want and to daven for it and to get close to Rebbeinu Shleilom on these very, very special days. But if we just say, well, Menucha, leave us alone, these days, it's not real, it's not realistic, it's not really, then we ask for Menucha, we get absolutely nothing. So I wanted to share with you this story which I saw today, and I from Malach Biderman, and I just wanted to share with you. Right, we are starting today Simon Lamet Gimel, which Seif Aleph and Seif Beis talk about the Ratzuas which get a bit old or out of shape, and Seif Beis speak about the stitches getting torn, and Seif Gimel talks about old Ratzuas. And Seif Gimel would address very common shailas such as what happens if the tzuras get what happens if the tzuras get a bit old, worn. What will you be able to identify and detect? Well, if the tzuras they lose some of the blackness. Is that a problem? And if yes, when is it a problem? How much blackness is a problem? If you've got a tiny little dot, is that a problem? What happens if when you bend it a bit? Sometimes the tzuras when you bend them, you see some white. Do you know what I mean? Some, what are they called? You know, when you bend them, you can see that there's white in between. Is that a problem or not? What about if it stays whiteness, or non-blackness, shall I say, in the part of which is in the Ma'avarta, the Ratzur, which is part of which is not visible at all, which is in the tefillin, in the bias, in the Ma'avarta of the tefillin, whether it's tefillin shaliyat or tefillin shalosh, is that a problem? If it's black, well, with Ratzurs which are not black but are not visible at all, and what happens if it's not completely black? If it's just very dark blue, if it just discolors slightly over the age and it becomes slightly dark blue, what about all these? Well, these amongst all the shalis will be discussed and see if Gimel and Meir Tzashem. But let's just get there. We see if Aleph and Simon Lamed Gimel. Din tikune tefillin v'din ratzuas. Now, halachas of tefillin and also of the additional halachas of tefillin and as well as dinim of regards to ratzuas. Im niskal skel oir shel shnei batim mi batei harosh. This seif discusses if the batim, the individual batim, of the four batim of the tefillin shel rosh, they get old and they get torn, as the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Aleph says, niskalkel perish shenifzak, he gets breaks us to some extent. Venase kerani tears. If what happens if two of them they break to some, they tear to some extent. Our tefillin are very solid and they are strong, and it's hard to imagine our tefillin getting torn. But this wasn't so with the old fashioned tefillin. They were much softer and it would be more common to actually get torn. So what happens if they get torn? So the Shulchan Aruch says, in this kalkel oil shall shnei batim, if it's two batim getting torn, batei harosh, from the bottom of the head tefillin, if they are next to each other, then, ema tefillin yeshonim, if the tefillin are old tefillin anyway, then psulim the tefillin apostle. Ve'im em chadoshim, but if the tefillin are fairly new, then kolzman she'oir Moshe v'abatim kayem, it's kosher. The Shulchan Aruch says if they are new, then just because it's torn, it will not matter as long as the bottom part is still kayem, still exists. So if they are torn slightly on top, as long as they're not next to each other, it's kosher. Gam abatim tzrichin, says the Ramal, yus kayomim ele shalikru k'tzas. The batim must be torn a little bit, slightly torn, but you can still see the shape of the tefillin, the batim, and there still have to be, majority needs to be there, just slightly torn, that's what it's talking about. V'yesh oim lehefer, the Ramal says there's other opinions who hold exactly the opposite. B'yeshonim k'sherim, if the tefillin are old, and they are torn, that's when they're going to be kosher. Uvechadoshim psulim. But if they are new and they are torn, that's why they're going to be psulim. Venirat lid yesh lehachmir. The Ramal says it appears to me yesh lehachmir and should be stringent. Lifsol b'shneihem. Either way, so a single bit is a machloikas as to whether if they are torn. Torn itself is only a problem if they are old, according to some rishonim, or torn and new is going to be a problem according to other Rishonim. We are stringent either way. Why is that? What's the svara in that? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Dalet. Rishonim psulim if they are old, the apostle. The kvanis kalkulu machmas yoshnon. They are old and that's why they are torn. And if the outside is torn, it's likely that the inside is torn, damaged, bad quality, poor quality. If it's old and it's damaged on the outside, that implies that probably the inside isn't that great either. That's the opinion of those who showing him. V'ayeshom the other opinion, svir lehepe hold the opposite. The v'chadoshim, if they are new, igale milza, it shows us, to'oyer mekulkulu, this is no good leather. If they are new and they are torn, that shows that it's not a good leather. Given the bizman mu'at niku, if in such a short time they are torn, so inevitably, you can see from that it's not good quality, it's poor quality. If they're new and torn, you better get new ones. It's no good. Even if those reasons do not apply, if it's torn by a knife or by accident, similarly, yesh lach mislini to be stringent. So, aloch lemaisa, Rabbi say, if the tefillin get torn, as to whether they are new or whether they are old, halach lemaisa, if they are batim of different the tefillin shel rosh, if they are batim on not next to each other, then the halacha is excuse me, if they are next to each other, the halacha is that the apostle needs to get new ones, whether they're older than you. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Ve'elu hem chadashim. What is considered new? Kol zman shimayu moishchim oisam b'retzuas habayis mispashet v'niftach nikra chadash. Now this is something which is very foreign to us. Shulchan Aruch says, when are they considered new? How do you define new? How do you define old? New tefillin is as long as you, when you pull the retzuas, they open up a little bit. The tefillin, the batim will open up a little bit. The batim, if you pull the retzuas, they will open up to some extent.
Yeah,
because they were softer. So as long as you can move them, you can shape them, you can, it's very fun to us. And they open up, that's considered new. If they get old, they get stale, and you won't be able to move, they're not flexible at all. As long as they are new, they're going to be to some extent flexible. If they do not open up, they're considered old. If two get damaged, and they are not next to each other, then Rishon v'Shlishi Ksherim Afilem Yeshenim. Then the other ones, the number one and number three, are kosher even if they are old. So only the broken, the damaged ones are going to be possible. V'im Niskalkulu Shloisha Batim. Either way, if three of the batim get damaged or torn, b'chol inim psulim, they are all possible. So again, we are learning that if they are next to each other, they are going to be possible. If they are not next to each other, they are kosher. And kosher, and if it's three, they're going to be possible as well. We do not, halach lemaiseh, makes none of kamin if they're old or new, because we're machmir either way. Even if it's damaged through a sacking, through a knife. Safe base. What about the giddin? Im nifsku tfiros hatfilin. What happens if the stitches of the tfilin get torn? Now, la Rambam, according to the Rambam, if the giddin tear, la Rambam im oyu shnei atfira zu bezahl zu, if they're one next to each other. Oi, alternatively, shenifseku sholosh tfirois, if the three stitches get torn, afilu even zu shaloi keneged zu, so either two stitches next to each other, or three stitches even not next to each other, then are in psulim, the giddin are possible, you need to replace the giddin. Bameid vorim amurim, when is it said, be a shon. If the giddin, the giddin are old, avol bechadoshim, but with new ones, afilu sho'or moshe v'batim kayem, even if the rest of the tefillin, the base of the tefillin is still kayem, as long as it's still kayem, it's kosher. Ve'elu em chadoshim, what do you consider new? Giddin, when are the giddin considered new? Kol sha'oich san miktas ha'oir, shenikra tifroi, v'soilim boya tefillin, v'uchazek v'einu nifsak. If you can take those giddin out, and you can hang up the tefillin on that, so you have this giddin, and you have the tefillin, if you can hang them up, and it doesn't tear, that is considered new. The giddin are still new, they're strong, and that's fine. If you cannot hang with it, elohu nifsak, but it's going to tear, haroli shonis, that's considered old giddim. V'yesh oimrim, here again, some say the bechadoshim psulim, if they are new, they are possibly shonim ksherim, and with old ones, they're considered, they're kosher. V'yesh lochus lishta asvoris, kenirani, to be machme on both opinions. Either whether they are new and they are torn, or whether they are old and they are torn, either way we are machme, and we passel them. Now, let's move on with regards to retzuas. Oir haretzuas, the leather of the retzuas. Zorich shiye me oir behem chayev ve'oif. They need to be made out of leather. The retzuas need to be made out of oir leather behem chayev ve'oif. Atoirim again needs to be made out of toir pure animals. Ve'zorich shiye me ubed lishmoy. It needs to be done lishmoy. Retzuas bein mi oir be mikaf ksheirois. The retzuas can be made out of leather, or it can be made out of parchment. Halacha lemoish misin, and these are going to be the words we're going to investigate in greater detail. Halacha lemoish misina shu retzuas shchoirois mi bachutz. That filling it to be black externally, avon mitzat pnim, but to the inside, yasem eize tzeva sheirtze. You can do it any color. So the part of the tefillin which is going outside needs to be black. The part of the retzuas which is on you, facing you, you can pick any color. You can have green with yellow dots, blue with pink stars. Everything is going to be kosher. Chutz me'edoim, besides red. Why is red a problem? Shema yoimu, maybe they will say, people will say, shemidam chatotov nitzpu ve'edimu. Maybe people will say that it's gone, that it's gone red from blood. People will think that it's gone. That if the inside of the tefillin is red, of the ritzuas is red, it will appear that it comes from blood. And we don't people think that you were that midan chatotov, that you had blood coming out, and that's how you turned red. We don't want people to think that. Therefore, we always avoid having red ritzuas. Rabbi Isai, at first glance, what would you say about the necessity of blackness? Let's start with the amount. How much of the ritzuas needs to be black? Say you have a little bit of whiteness, of white dots. Rabbi Isai, do you think this is a problem or not? Starting from the Shulchan Aruch, what do you think and why? White dots on the ritzuas. What do you think? Can't be black. Pardon? It's got to be black. Consequently, you're saying that even if it's white dots, it's a problem. I hear that. And to add to what you're saying, we have over here, I think, very much key words. Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. What does Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, what does that teach us? What would you say? Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, yeah. Pardon? No if and buts. That's, you put it very nicely. No if and buts. You're very good. And therefore what? Therefore you're saying that it has to be completely black. Completely and utterly wholly black. Yeah. Yeah, what do you, Taina? Yeah. Yeah, black. So even if there's white dots, it would be a problem. Very interesting, because we're going to see the post-game take a slightly different approach. First of all, what we need to see, I think that's the most, that's very crucial, before we, is actually the bi'alach over here. The bi'alach dibra maschil, the alach mishmi sina, I'm going to, before the Mishnah Berurah, prior to the Mishnah Berurah, let us see this bi'alach, which I think is very important. Halach mishmi sina, it says the bi'alach, v'leikuvu afilu b'dievet. Yes, it is true that the blackness is ma'akev. If they are not black, it's ma'akev, it's possible. Tefillin, which are not black, are possible. That's what the Bi'alacha says. He says, Rambam Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, that's what the Rambam said, it's ma'akev. V'hutzach levar, then it's necessary to point out this very point. Yesh halacha shurak mitzvah ba'alma, because there are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, which is considered just a mitzvah ba'alma. It's ideal. Like in Shabbos, in other places, we find that mitzvah sometimes means it's good. Over here, it doesn't mean it's just good. Over here, it means it's absolutely ma'akev. The next bialach is also important. I don't know why I didn't put it in Mishneh Berurah. Haritzur eshchoy is bein shel rosh uvein shel yad. Rambam. He says that whether it's the tefillin shel rosh or the ritzur of yad, either way, they need to be completely black. Okay, now let us see what the Mishneh Berurah says in Sif Kotten Yudzayin. V'tzorich, here he does say it, Yudzayin says in Mishneh Berurah, kol chai tzorich leikuv afilu b'di'eved. It's absolutely ma'akev, the blackness is ma'akev. If it's not black, it's possible. So first we're learning that needs to be lishmoy. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Sif Kotten Yudches, lishmoy afilu harambam demekel babatim kumavua le'el b'siman lamed beisif lamed zayin moy dehoche. Even the Rambam, who is meikil and lenient with regards to the blackness of the batim, he agrees that the ritzuas need to be black, and that they need to be lishmoy, not black, but lishmoy. So the blackness and the lishmoy aspect of the blackness of the ritzuas is more stringent by the ritzuas than by the batim. So the hashchora tzir kam ken yelishmo, it also needs to be, when you black the ritzuas, they need to be lishmo. So that, I think, is important to point out. Because, what about if you see there is a black area within your ritzuas, and you have a black marker or a black tipex, what is very, based on what we're learning now, what is very crucial and essential to remember to say or to do before you actually blacken the ritzuas? Next right. You need to make sure that it's lishma. So if you've got the black color, whether it's a pen or whether it's a tipex, whether it's dye, you need to ensure to say leshem k'tushas tefillin. You need to say that because it needs to be lishma. is the saying ma'akev or not? So we have seen in previous halachas that actually saying is ma'akev. In some areas, the saying is ma'akev. If a person said it b'machshava ba'alma, it's only b'dievet. So you're right, it won't pass the tefillin, and it won't pass the ritzuas, but ideally one should say befe l'shem k'tushas tefillin. K'tushas. It's not ma'akev.
What other possible reason would a person be lacking?
Good question. Good question. But it doesn't necessarily, if a person writes a Megill, it's also unlikely that he does it for nowadays for any other. Nevertheless, that it's part of Lishmoy. The tefillin need to be done Lishmoy. So although there is no rationale why a person would do it for something else, but there is a Lishmoy, it's a very positive process a person needs to go in order to Yeah, so that's, yeah. Yeah. Right, continues the Mishnah Berurah, and he says that in Sifkot New Tess, how black does it actually need to be? So we learned that it's Aloch Lamush Sinai, and we learned that it needs to be black, and we learned that it's no if and buts. But how black is black? How do you define blackness? Isn't that an interesting one? How do you define blackness? Very, very dark. Very dark blue. Is that considered black? It's not. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Shchoy Rois. I'm Bevorach Shammah. I don't know who the Bevorach Shammah is. There's a very late Achan who's the Bevorach Shammah, but that wasn't him. I'm Bevorach Shammah. The Mashma Midvarov. The Mitzvah Lashchiron Achu Shchoy Rois Ka'oirev. Like a raven. Well, the ink, what's the color of the ink? Yeah, but he wants to define that blackness. How do you define blackness? How do you define that? Like the ink, well, how do you define the color of the ink? What is, so he says, like a black raven, absolutely black. Now, but he says over here, Veda, you should know, the imnis yashnu, if they have gone old, v'nismaich men ashachos, and the blackness has disintegrated, tzorich la'ashchiron mechodosh, you need to go over it and blacken it again. K'del b'simen lamed beisif lamed tes, as we learned in simen lamed beisif lamed tes. Uvemokoyim hiduk hakesha, and in the place where the tefillin is tied, motzui me'oid, it is very common, le'ismach, that he gets that, he gets soft and he gets rubbed away. Hashachos, the blackness of Yeshle, Zoya, Bezema, you need to be very careful. It's true. I mean, even behind the tefillin Shel Rosh, in the part, in various places, that it's doomed to become, that the blackness is likely to disappear. So the Mishnah Berurah says one should be very, very careful. So with regards to the color of the blackness, the Mishnah Berurah says that, in the Dibir Aloch Ritzuas Shchoyrois, he says, if two lines from the bottom, Aval Medina, he says, Kol Shechol Olav Shem Shochoy Sagilei. Everything that has a black Shem Shochoy, a blackness to it, is kosher. And he discusses there, very, very dark blue. Yes, blue, but very, very dark blue. Somewhere borderline between black and blue. And the Mishnah Berurah says that b'di'evet is kosher. B'di'evet is kosher. The chatchila, of course, it needs to be absolute blackness, but if you see something which has a slight navyish, slight, I'm sure there's a name to it.
I think that it used to be Parker ink that they have for the fountain pens.
Right.
A colour called blue black.
Oh.
Reminded me of that.
Yes, probably that kind of colour. Yeah. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah, the Bi'al Halacha says that this will be b'dievet, will be okay. He said that if it's very, very dark blue, it will actually be kosher. So lechatchila it's not ideal, but b'dievet certainly it's kosher. It doesn't seem to say you need to go over it, or maybe ideally you should, but it's definitely not b'dievet or ma'akev. Says right. So this is what we learned. We covered tonight, Be'ezer Hashem. We spoke about the batim, if they get slightly damaged or torn. We said if they are next to each other, it's a problem. Whether halacha lemaaseh according to the Rama, whether it's old or whether it's new, if they're slightly torn, it's a problem. If they're next to each other, if they're not next to each other, it's not a problem. But if it's three batim which are damaged, it's going to be a problem. Mishnah Berurah says if it's torn by a knife or by cutting or by anything like that, it's going to be a problem halacha lemaaseh as well. Yeah, this is right. Sif Beis discusses if it's the stitches, the gidim get old and they get torn. So he says again, whether it's old or whether it's new, halacha lemaaseh, it doesn't make enough kamina. Once they are torn and there's two next to each other, you have to replace it. If it's three, then if it's not zuken negetzu, it's not as long as it's not zuken negetzu, it's kosher. And then we started speaking about the ratzuas we learned need to be made out of oir behem or chayev oif, which is pure animals. As always, it needs to be pure animals, but of course it doesn't have to be shechted, as we've learned previously in numerous places. It needs to be done lishmoy, and we spoke about the coloring. Also, if you go over the color and we fix up the little dots, it needs to be done lishmoy as well. We spoke about the fact that lochel mishmisina is black. However, we did define that, of course, ideally it should be absolutely black, like a raven. But b'di'evet, we learned, if it's very, very dark blue, that's kosher as well. And with regards to the amount of blackness, how much is absolutely ma'akev, and when are actually dots a problem, that will address him, Yitzhak Hashem, tomorrow. Good evening, Abayisai.